by seaplane, fishing boat, and kayak to southeast Alaska. There, NPR's Anya Kamenetz met a young woman who's trying to reinvent higher education. Her aim, to use the wilderness to prepare diverse students for lives of purpose in an ever more fragile world.
Laura Marcus's own college dream began with a rejection. As a high schooler in Indiana, more than anything, she wanted to go to Deep Springs. It's a college on a working cattle ranch in California. Students practice self-governance. That is, they help run the school.
I called up the admissions office to plead my case, not knowing that at the time that the admissions office was a 19-year-old guy that I was talking to on the phone, and basically was told, no, sorry, we won't consider your application.
From its founding in 1917 up till 2018, Deep Springs accepted only men.
So that ended that dream for the moment, but I really never lost sight of that.
By the time she got to Yale, Marcus had decided that if she wouldn't be allowed into Deep Springs, she would found a new one. This time, open to all.
Got a sea otter out here.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's got a pup, actually.
It's early morning in Elfin Cove, a 30-minute seaplane ride west of Juneau, Alaska. Marcus, dressed in rubber boots and flannel, is motoring us in an old crab boat toward a round, sheltered cove, nicknamed the Hobbit Hole. It's a few buildings at the base of some steep, pine-covered mountains. There's a vegetable garden. There's some ducks.
Are you on ducks today?
Yeah, I'm on ducks.
This is home for the 12 students of the Arete Project. Arete in Greek means excellence. The program is designed to answer the question, what if?
The work that students were doing, not only in the classroom, but also in the labor that they were performing on and for the campus, and in the work of self-governance that they were doing, actually mattered.
After a few years of experimenting on a shoestring budget, Marcus has landed on an intensive blend of outdoor and classroom-based learning.
And you'll see we've got all kinds of crab pots and shrimp pots around here.
Those long Alaska summer days are spent outside, fishing, dressing deer, picking berries, learning homesteading skills like scraping halibut skin.
Tanning fish skins.
Yes, you can make leather from a fish.
Hey, guys.
Students also spend 3 hours each day in seminar, which focuses on people's relationship to nature, ranging from their traditional knowledge of the local Huna Tlingit to using big data to track wildlife populations. At the end of the summer, they can earn college credit in environmental studies. The entire program is free, and students are picked from all over the country. Marcus says the idea is,
take students who normally would never have interacted with one another, who never would have gone to college with one another, or maybe never even seen one another, to put them all in this really extraordinary experience, the likes of which pretty much none of them have ever had before, and see what happens.
Sometimes what happens is personal and emotional. One day in seminar in the airy bunkhouse with its wood stove, the students pick up an ongoing discussion of climate change.
My fear goes back to...
Kelsey Hernandez was a student teacher at the University of Alaska. She talks about her fear that the children here will grow up wearing masks because of wildfires, having to leave their home villages as permafrost melts, never again hearing certain birds.
And that, for me, is the most terrifying, to think that the group of kindergartners that I just taught, that by the time they graduate, some of the things that they had grown to love in their world might not exist.
Yasmin Sharifi, a Yale graduate whose family immigrated from Iran, objects that where she comes from, little children are already suffering the effects of environmental damage.
In Iran, you see that the smog is worse, and people walk around wearing masks. Like, that's normal.
For me personally as well, like, living in Mali, like, it's drier than ever over there.
Marie Traoré graduated from the City University of New York. She's seen children in Africa growing up among the garbage America ships away. Her voice breaks.
It's really frustrating that we just, like, I guess, cut the conversation as, like, a future thing because we keep talking about it, but it's not a future thing, it's a not thing.
Clustered on couches, looking out on the woods, students try to make sense of big world problems with their varied life experiences.
You got a whale on it, Sue.
But living in close quarters and working hard outdoors knits the community together. The highlight of Abe Norman's first time here last summer was digging post holes for a woodshed by hand.
There's pictures of us with our arms, like, arm deep in the hole. And it's especially fun when it's raining and you're just, like, laying on the ground.
Arete helped him realize for sure he didn't want a corporate job.
And going up to like the 26th floor and like walking past all these people kind of droning away at their cubicles.
He aims to become a firefighter, but first he came back to Arete to be a program assistant, where his duties include running a blacksmith forge they found on the property.
The thing that everybody's been making are coat hooks.
The next phase of the Arete project will be a year-long college program, but it won't be all that much bigger.
If we try to do this with 50 students or 100 students or 1,000 students or 10,000 students, we would necessarily lose something, if not everything, of what makes this education unique.
Marcus's hope instead is that each person who passes through here will be transformed, kind of like Abe. After class, the students take kayaks out in the icy strait to catch dinner.
Oh, dang!
Yasmin hooks a rockfish right away, then two more. She whispers, "Thank you, fish." Anya Kamenetz, NPR News, Elfin Cove, Alaska.